Hello, hello. Oh, okay. Happy Mother's Day, everyone. Good morning. It's good to see you guys today. I'm going to tell you a little story about when I first got married. Now, I was the perfect husband, right? No, I'm just kidding. So I learned a lot about expectations my first year of marriage, and I'm still learning about expectations. And so often on Saturdays, I would go to work for Saturday school, and Rachel would be at home. And by the way, I have her permission to tell this story, just FYI. And so I would come home from work, and I would have been tired, right? And I would have been working the whole day, and I would kind of look around the house to see, I wonder what Rachel did at home. And I would ask her a very interesting question. Hey, Rach, what did you do when I was gone? What did you get accomplished when I was out working? Okay, wrong thing to ask, right? So anyways, we over many, many times of just experiencing that, God helped me to grow and to not lower my expectations, but to not expect my wife to be busy doing stuff all the time when necessarily I was doing something. So I'm still learning, and I'm 2.5 years into marriage now, and I'm probably a lot more to go, but by the grace of God, he's helping me to become a more godly husband, and I'm proud of my wife for being a mother today. So, yeah. So we're all busy people, right? We all have a lot of things to do in life. But what actually pleases God? Is it being busy serving him? Today we're going to be reading a story from Luke 10, 38 to 42. You guys can already prepare your Bibles if you want. Luke 10, 38 to 42. It's on page 725. It's not a coincidence that today we will be looking at a story of two women for Mother's Day. In this story, Jesus teaches something that's very important and relevant even to us today. Let me read this passage for you. Luke 10, 38 to 42. As Jesus and his disciples were on their way, he came to a village where a woman named Martha opened her home to him. She had a sister called Mary, who sat at the Lord's feet, listening to what he said. But Martha was distracted by all the preparations that had to be made. She came to him and asked, "Lord, don't you care that my sister has left me to do the work by myself? Tell her to help me." "Martha, Martha," the Lord answered, "you are worried and upset about many things, but few things are needed, or indeed only one. Mary has chosen what is better, and it will not be taken away from her." Let's ask the Lord to teach us today. Father, thank you for gathering each one of us here today on Mother's Day. Lord, what a blessed day this is. God, you have something to teach each one of us from this passage. Even though it is about women, it applies to each one of us here today. Father, would your Holy Spirit be present in this place? Would you please speak to us now through your word? I ask this in your name, Jesus. Amen. We're going to be looking at two important truths today. The first one is the futility of many things, and second, the fulfillment of one. Let me give you a setting of the story here. Here's a map of present-day Palestine, the Middle East. This story takes place in a town called Bethany, and if you can see, it's kind of small, sorry. Bethany is very close to Jerusalem. It's about 1.5 miles away. If you went east out of Jerusalem, you would go up the Mount of Olives, where Jesus spent his night before he was crucified on the Garden of Gethsemane. And if you go keep going down the mountain, you will reach Bethany. This is a small town. It was a natural place for people coming from Galilee to go through this town and rest before going to Jerusalem to worship. So Jesus often traveled through this small town of Bethany. It says that Martha invited Jesus into her home. So what does this say about Martha? It could mean she was the oldest sibling of the three. She's always mentioned first throughout the Bible that it was Martha, Mary, and Lazarus. It could also mean she was the most dominant of the three as well. Hospitality definitely came natural to Martha. She was always serving, always helping. But most importantly, she loved Jesus and cared for him. She wanted Jesus to come into her home. Jesus was not only acquaintances with his family, but they were his very good friends, as you can see throughout the Bible. When Lazarus dies, Jesus wept over him. As soon as Jesus entered her home, I can imagine Martha just sitting Jesus down in the living room and then rushing off into the kitchen to start cooking. She wanted to prepare a feast, right? She had herself, her sister Mary, brother Lazarus, Jesus, plus 12 disciples. 4 plus 12? 16, right? So she has 16 mouths to go and feed in an instant. She was the industrious type. She liked to work hard. She wanted to feed the whole family, have them rested, and then she finally sat down. Do you know anyone like that? Your moms, maybe? Let's take a moment to think about something. Food. Now, I love food. If you get to know me, you'll realize that I don't go a few sentences without somehow bringing up food. So, because there's some mention of food, I wanted to show you some pictures about Israeli food. This is called challah. This is a bread, Israeli bread. And I don't know what this is called, but it also looks really good. And this one is falafel. Maybe you've heard of that, fried stuff. So, if you look at this stuff, you would probably be thinking, oh, Martha, wow, keep cooking. Just stay in the kitchen. And Mary, how about you go and help Martha so that we can eat this stuff faster? That's just me. So, good thing I'm not Jesus, right? The story in the kitchen continues. You see in verse 39 that Mary sat at the Lord's feet listening to what he said. Now, perhaps Martha started banging around some pots a little bit louder than normal to get Mary's attention, to come into the kitchen. Okay? First, that didn't work. Second, Martha maybe was trying to look into Mary and, get over here, help me. But that didn't work either. She tried standing at the kitchen and then just thought, how typical. Here is Mary, the free-spirited one, just doing what she wants, sitting at Jesus' feet while I'm in the kitchen preparing all the food. Great. We learn more of Martha's personality as we read. I love the translation in the Living Bible. It says this, but Martha was the jittery type, the jittery type, and was worrying over the big dinner that she was preparing. The translation that we are using, the NIV, says this, she was distracted by all the preparations that had to be made. She was distracted. Think about that. What preparations had to be made? The implications here are that Martha wanted to be at the feet of Jesus like Mary, and yet she was torn. She really wanted to serve God through this big feast that she was preparing. She wanted to be on her game. She wanted to give Jesus her best hospitality, but there was a list of things in her mind to get done, and she couldn't sit down until they were all checked off. Was Jesus expecting some huge feast in his honor? Is that what was really important to him? Martha wanted to give Jesus her best, yes. She wanted to honor her Lord through giving him an elaborate meal. However, a bitterness had taken root in Martha's heart. She was serving, yes, but when the Messiah was in her home, her Lord, she couldn't go and sit at his feet. Instead, she was worrying over her preparations. Service and work and busyness had become elevated to an equal status with God. And she let Jesus know that she did not approve what Mary was doing, her sister. It says in verse 40, she came to him, to Jesus, and asked, Lord, don't you care that my sister has left me to do the work by myself? Tell her to help me. She commanded Jesus, tell her, Lord, tell her to come and help me. Now, who in here would say that we are someone like Martha? Is anyone here busy? Is anyone busy? Yeah, we are all busy. Do you ever feel inferior when someone comes up and tells you all that they're doing and you just feel like you want to go and sign up for something? Like, yeah, I'll sign up for the Lions Club or, you know, something like that. And it just makes you want to be busy. And honestly, the world glorifies this packed and busy lifestyle. I mean, come on, what's Nike's motto? Just do it, right? Not just sit down and listen. We feel good doing something. We feel good being busy. I mean, I like to impress people too. I love showing Rachel, oh, look at all the yard work I did, or oh, look, I just washed these dishes for you. Come and praise me, you know? It makes me feel really good inside. Let me show you a picture of how people in the U.S. spend their time. And there's one specific thing I want to show you at the end, but look at some of the ways that people in the U.S. like to spend their time. There's different maps, and the darker colors mean more quantity, and the lighter colors mean less quantity. So, first, the average daily sleep. And actually, Wisconsin, people from Wisconsin, have the lowest average daily sleep. I hope you guys are getting rest. So this is time spent on housework. This is time spent watching TV, thinking and relaxing, and time spent on religious activities. You can see the South is very dark. And here's another more specific numbers for Wisconsin. Take a look at some of those numbers. And actually, people in Wisconsin have spent the most time on reading except one state. So good job, guys. And look at the very middle, religious activities. How much time is spent on religious activities? 5 minutes, yep. There's only a few states lower. The lowest is Rhode Island. They spend only 2 minutes on average. But 5 minutes on religious activities. I wonder how far this is off for many of us. Moms, you are the busiest and hardworking people in our congregation. Your day begins as soon as the first ray of sun or the first child gets up, whichever comes first. Today we commend you. We honor you. But there's still an issue here that Jesus is talking to us about. We tire and we slave over our to-do list. There's dishes to be washed. There's laundry to be washed. Clutter that needs to go back in the closet. Oh, I didn't just say that. And then it's another meal that needs to be made. The saying goes, people only notice housework when it's not being done, right? We can all relate. There's more to do in life than there is hours in the day. As you can see here, this I don't even think this adds up to 24 hours here, so I don't know how they got the study, but it's not necessarily about housework, though. Jesus gets the heart of the issue here. It says that Martha was distracted in verse 40. In verse 41, he says this to her. You are worried and upset about many things. And the Message paraphrase of the Bible, and the Message paraphrase is not a word-for-word translation like our NIV Bibles here. It's more of a translation of the thought. And look at this here. Martha, dear Martha, you're fussing far too much and getting yourself worked up over nothing. Worked up over nothing. If Martha could be distracted with Jesus in her very house, how much more so us today? Even with Martha in the next room over, Martha's attention was not on her Lord, it was on her work, her busyness, her to-do list. So how are we like Martha? We each have many things to offer God. We don't even have our work, we have our service. We have our gifts from the Holy Spirit. These are good things. God has given us work to do and ordained it. The cows have to be milked, right? We enjoy doing things for God. I mean, I enjoy doing things for God. We get a lot of satisfaction after that. And anyways, what does the world measure? They don't necessarily measure, well, how much time did you spend with God today? Or how intimate you are with God. They ask you, oh, what did you do today? Or what did you accomplish today? You're doing. The danger is that our acts of service, like Martha, can take precedence, can take a higher place over God himself, the very words of God. Church, why do we seem to get everything else accomplished sometimes except the one important thing, that is being with Jesus? Does that satisfy our souls? It says that Martha was distracted, right? Are you ever distracted? I am a scatterbrain, so I know everything there is to know about just being distracted. Sometimes I don't think there's a 5 minute span where I'm not distracted by squirrel. Have you seen the movie Up? That's Rachel often calls me that dog, that squirrel, you know, looking around. Yeah, that's me. The busyness, the to-do list. Even the service is futile in providing the food that our souls really need. At the end of a busy day of accomplishing many things that needed to be done, if Jesus only got the leftovers, was that really a satisfying, fulfilling day? And sometimes Jesus doesn't even get that. It's easy to say, maybe like Martha, well, I'm busy cooking right now, and I'll spend time with Jesus tomorrow when he wakes up. Or maybe for us, I really need to write these emails or make these phone calls now, but I'll spend time with God tomorrow. If those days repeat themselves in a cycle, is that a fulfilling life? Are we actually accomplishing what God wants us to do? While Martha is off in the kitchen, Mary is listening to Jesus, hanging on his every word. It says in verse 39, she had a sister called Mary who sat at the Lord's feet, listening to what he said. Can you imagine the opportunity that Mary had? Her Lord and Savior was in her house for a meal, and she chose to drop everything and sit at his feet. To do what? To sit, to listen, to hear her Savior's words. In that day and age, women had a very low status in society, unlike today. They were not only allowed, they were allowed into the temple, but further than the non-Jews, the Gentiles, but not as far as the man could go and worship. Also, Jewish teachers were very opposed to the women being taught by the Bible. But Jesus, he revolutionizes what the disciples and the society's view of women was. And even we look in the Bible and it talks about children. People didn't want children to come and sit with Jesus. But Jesus says, let them come to me. So Jesus is even explaining in this story that he wants women also to learn from his words. What did Mary choose? She could have gone to the kitchen and helped her sister. She would have been fulfilling her societal role. She would have been doing something very helpful, right? But Jesus probably would not have objected to that. He wouldn't have said, well, you know, I really want you to come. He might have thought that, but Jesus never enables laziness in his teaching. That's not what he's getting about. He's not telling Martha, well, you just need to sit down and do nothing because the dishes can't wash themselves, right? Dinner can't cook itself. We need to do these things, and that's all right. Of course, Jesus might be saying to Martha, well, if you were cooking a simpler meal, maybe you wouldn't have to have all this work. That's not what Jesus wanted from her. He would prefer Martha to be at his feet, listening to him. So what am I getting at here? Moms, I'm not giving you a ticket to stay at home and do nothing all day. And men, we can't just get off the hook and stay at home either from work and sit and pray. God has given us work to do, and that's a good thing. Neither am I convinced that what God is getting at here is just to be in a monastery or convent and worship him all day. Yes, that is a life that is seeking God in devotion. But what impact could we have on our communities because we're not working side by side with those people that really do need to hear the gospel? Here's the story of what my own devotions can look like. I wake up in the morning, and if I have my coffee, I'm not too sleepy. If I don't have my coffee, it's sleepy. But when I sit down, immediately I have distractions in my head. I don't know about you. I start thinking about the emails I need to write, the things I need to do that day, that message I'm preparing for, my son who's fussing about something, or my wife and our future vacation in France. You get the picture, right? When we decide to sit down, that's when the devil starts to work. He fills our minds with distractions, with a to-do list. The last thing that Satan wants you and me to do is to seek God, and he'll do anything he can to take our eyes off of him. Unfortunately, for many of us, we choose to actually do those things on our to-do list instead of sitting down to hear from Jesus. We let those important things become a little bit too important in our lives, and they consume us. They take us away from sitting at the feet of Jesus, our Savior. Jesus did not die on the cross for us to do things for him. He died on the cross for that we can know him. Jesus did not die on the cross so that we can do things for him. He died on the cross so that we can know him. Wives, moms, and women, you have a huge responsibility to keep a tidy house and to care and nurture for your family. Many of you also work outside of the home. And men, you equally have a great responsibility. Husbands, when you come home, you just want to relax and rest, but there's often more things to do. Jesus has something to say to you and to me, to all of us today. First, look, Jesus says Martha's name twice. Martha, Martha, the Lord answered. In this, saying it twice, there's sincerity and passion in Jesus' words. Jesus is gently rebuking her, but not putting her to shame. You are worried and upset about many things, he says, but few things are needed, or indeed only one. Mary has chosen what is better, and it will not be taken away from her. Jesus is saying, Mary has chosen what is better, and Martha, you shouldn't use your dominance over her to take it away. What is better, serving God as Martha was doing, or listening to God as Mary was doing? A very good thing, serving God and our families, can easily take priority over him and consume us. How many times have you thought, well, I'll just clean the house and then I'll sit down with Jesus, or let me just write these emails and call my family and then I'll spend time with God? But there is only one who satisfies. We have to believe that hearing from God is our good portion, that it's our priority, not even serving him, but hearing from him, sitting at his feet. Maybe some of you know C.S. Lewis. He was a British author back in the 1800s and 1900s. He wrote a book called Screwtape Letters. And in this book, he portrays two demons that are trying their very best to take a young man and his new faith and take that faith away from him. The uncle demon here is offering suggestions to his nephew, what he can do to destroy his faith. You can read up here while I read it. And in this quote, the enemy refers to God, because it's a demon's talking. He says this, "You will say that these are very small sins, and doubtless, like all young tempters, you are anxious to be able to report spectacular wickedness. But do remember, the only thing that matters is the extent to which you separate the man from the enemy, which is God. It does not matter how small the sins are, provided that their cumulative effect is to edge the man away from the light and out into the nothing. Murder is no better than cards, if cards can do the trick. Indeed, the safest road to hell is the gradual one, the gentle slope, soft, underfoot, without sudden turnings, without milestones, without signposts." Notice what he says. The only thing that matters is the extent to which you separate the man from the enemy, God. What was taking Martha away from sitting and learning from Jesus? It wasn't Facebook, it wasn't Pinterest or emails. It was her cooking, her housework. So what separates you from God? What takes away from the time that you could be spending at his feet listening to him? Maybe it's not cards, like this quote, and I hope it's not murder, but maybe it's not housework or cleaning like Martha either. But for all of us, it is something. Jesus teaches in the Sermon on the Mount, a few books before, in Matthew, about the things in life that can take our eyes away from Jesus. You can turn with me to Matthew 6, verses 25 to 34. It's found on page 679. Matthew 6, verses 25 to 34. Page 679. "Therefore I tell you, do not worry about your life, what you will eat or drink, or about your body, what you will wear. Is not life more than food, and the body more than clothes? Look at the birds of the air. They do not sow or reap or store away in barns, and yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not much more valuable than they? Can any one of you, by worrying, add a single hour to your life? And why do you worry about clothes? See how the flowers of the field grow? They do not labor or spin. Yet I tell you that not even Solomon in all his splendor was dressed like one of these. If that is how God clothes the grass of the field, which is here today and tomorrow is thrown into the fire, will he not much more clothe you, you of little faith? So do not worry, saying, what shall we eat? Or what shall we drink? Or what shall we wear? For the pagans run after all these things, and your heavenly Father knows that you need them. But seek first the kingdom of God. Seek first his kingdom and his righteousness, and all these things will be given to you as well. Therefore, do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will worry about itself. Each day has enough trouble of its own." I'm sure Jesus could have quoted this sermon to Martha, but he chose to let her think about the few words that he said. We seek his kingdom and his righteousness. So what exactly does it look like? What does it look like when a million things in the world are pulling us a million directions? I read a book called Crazy Busy, my second year of marriage. And it's funny because after reading this book called Crazy Busy, I looked at Rachel, my wife, and said, "Rach, I'm not really that busy." But now I would say otherwise, because there's just something about adding a child to the equation that kind of changes things. In his book, Crazy Busy, Kevin DeYoung says this: making consistent time for the Word of God and prayer is the place to start, because being with Jesus is the only thing strong enough to pull us away from busyness. Luke 10:38-42 is nothing but a story version of Deuteronomy 8:3. Man does not live by bread alone, but by every word that comes from the mouth of the Lord. We won't say no to more craziness until we can say yes to more Jesus. We will keep choosing dinner rolls over the bread of life. We will choose the fanfare of the world over the feet of Jesus. We will choose busyness over blessing. It's not wrong to be tired, and it's not wrong to feel overwhelmed. It's not wrong to go through a season of complete chaos. What is wrong and heartbreakingly foolish and wonderfully avoidable is to live with more craziness than we want because we have less Jesus than we need. Jesus says that few things are needed, or indeed only one. And Mary has chosen what is better and will not be taken away from her. So how can we be more like Mary? We need to make a choice today that we will sit and make time to be at the feet of Jesus, to pray, to read his word, and to gather like this on Sundays. I need to make that choice today. It needs to become our priority in life, or we all know that it's easy to get squeezed out of our day. Whether you've been a believer for your whole life, or you're still unsure about where you stand with God, there's a choice before you today. Can you imagine the impact that it would have on our church, on our worship, if we were all wholeheartedly seeking after God? What depth there would be to our worship, our ministries, our conversations, and our families. Jesus did not die on the cross so that we could do things for him. He died on the cross so that we can know him. And he's asking us to choose the one thing that is needed. Let's pray together. Heavenly Father, thank you for teaching us today through your word. Lord, we do want to choose what is better, the one thing that is needed. Lord, help us to make you a priority in life, our priority. Lord, it's so easy to get knocked out and bounced around by the many things that needs to get done, by the worries of this world. But God, would you please help us to seek your face, to seek your righteousness and your kingdom, and all of these things will be given to us as well. Father, we want to honor you today by the decision that we make. Thank you, God. Thank you, Jesus, for your love. We serve you and honor you now. It's in your name I pray. Amen.